Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
Final hour on this rainy Monday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you on ESPN 102.5. The game is quite a night out in San Jose. The one and only trip to Northern California for the Predators. They beat up on the Sharks 8-0. And my guess is San Jose was like, good riddance. Get out of here. Please don't ever come back this season, because that was a royal beatdown on Saturday night. I think for a lot of fans, a lot of people that were in Bridgestone Arena back in the day, we all remember another 8-0 Predators victory, but we'll get into that later on. The man was responsible for a whole lot of it. Michael McCarron is indeed on the line with us. What a night he had. What a night his line had. 2 goals and 2 assists for Michael. 4 points, a +4 rating on the evening. Michael, thanks for doing this. How you doing?
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me. I'm feeling great, feeling good, and so is the team.
Do you feel like you're 26 years old?
Yeah, no. You know what? I feel pretty good. My body feels good right now. The last month here we've had quite a few days in between games and some days off. So gearing up for what seems like we're going to have a game every other day here for the next 2 months. So. Gearing up for that.
Well, you know why I brought that up. Happy birthday, by the way.
I knew it, but yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So what was that like? I mean, you got the night started midway through the first period. I mean, it was your goal that basically sent this thing off and running. Just take us through that goal and just did it. I always wonder when you have a game like this where everything just kind of goes your way, do you ever get that vibe? Do you ever get that feeling? Or is it impossible at this level, you know, in this league, to ever be comfortable, to ever go there? Because, you know, they're professionals, you're professionals, and, you know, we've seen big comebacks before. But at any point did you ever get the feeling like it's just your night?
Yeah. I think, well, to go your first question there, my first goal was a great, great burst of speed by Tomasino to get up in a play, and, you know, I got the rebound, and I put it back behind the net for him, and I was able to beat my guy back to the net, and he made a great pass from behind the net and what they call Gretzky's office back there. He was able to find some room and slip it in there to me. So, and then, yeah, like you said, we were off and running, and it is weird. You always think, like before games, that it's going to be your night. You know, you have to think like that every night. But sometimes, like you said, things just – pucks find you. Things really do just go your way, and there's really no rhyme or reason. Like, there's no really telling on how that happens. It's very odd how the game works. And but yeah, it was definitely our night. I think our line was just clicking. You know, we were finding each other. We were hard on pucks. We were winning puck battles, and we were able to score some greasy goals. So that always helps.
Stalock got pulled after your second goal. Is that one of the easier NHL goals you've ever had?
Yeah, for sure. That's the easiest. They put it right on a platter for me. Luffer did. So,
did you even move your stick? Did you even move your stick?
No, I didn't. It was tape to tape. NHL pass, baby.
Well, hey, you finished it off. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter how it got there. It ended up in the back of the net. So did I hear you on these airwaves as Pete and you talked to Pete and Hal first before I got started with post game? Did I hear you tell them that you took that nasty hit in Seattle on Wednesday night? You left the game, but I think you came back late. You obviously hit an elbow. Did I hear you tell them you broke your nose on that play?
Yeah, my nose was pretty sideways. It was not good. It was I just went back there in the trainer's room, and they just they reset it, and I came back, but I don't know if I should have. My eyes were watering the rest of the game. I was seeing double.
Oh boy.
Is that your first broken nose?
Yeah, it is. It's my first broken nose where they had to reset it. I think I'm sure I've broken it before, but they've never had to, crack it back into place. That was the first time for me, and it was definitely a new adventure for me.
Oh, that just that just sounds painful. What was it about your line that was also? I mean, we've talked a lot about your success on Saturday night and your team's success, but in particular, let's narrow it down to your line, man. You guys were all over the place in San Jose.
Yeah, you know what? I think, you know, I said it on the radio post game with Pete. There was sometimes players need some time to get used to each other. And I think that's finally what, you know, Tom Urlacher and myself have finally been able to, you know, we kind of know each other's games now. And I think Tomer's really starting to, you know, Tomer's a very skilled guy, and so is Luffer. And when Tomer goes up on those top lines, he plays that style. And you know, when he comes back down with me, he really knows how to play with me now. I think, you know, he's getting to the dirty areas, and he's making some really skilled plays, and I'm lucky to have him as a line mate, been able to find me. So, you know, it just took a little bit of time for us to trust each other and find the other player's habits. And I think last game we were really hard on pucks and we won a lot of puck battles, and that's what, you know, fourth line's got to do. When you forecheck, you got to get the puck back. So that's what we were able to do. And like I said, we were lucky enough to get some pretty greasy goals there.
Let's go back to Michael McCarron on the line with us. Let's go back to when you got traded here. Did you ever think this was going to end up kind of being the spot that it's turned out to be for you? I mean, you seem like it's a good fit for you. I mean, just think about it. You know, you're just coming off this incredible outdoor game here in our city in front of almost 70,000 fans, and your line is clicking, you know, playing the way you are. What did you think when you got traded here? And as you sit here today, how has this ride been for you since you've been in Nashville?
Yeah, when I got traded here, that was my goal. I mean, kind of goes back to, like I said, before every game, you always think it's going to be your night. So when I got that call that I was traded, that was my goal, to get to the NHL and maintain an NHL job and stay here. And I think credit to the team that we have here. We've been pretty successful since I've been here. So that always helps when you're winning games, and credit, you know, the coaching staff for believing in me, and you know, the way that we play here is great for my style of game. I think when I was playing in the East in Montreal, it was more, you know, high speed, high skill. Definitely a different type of game than we play here. We're really aggressive, and it just fits my style of game. I always knew I was an NHL player. You know, I had my sniffs in Montreal. I played 70 games there, but never could stick. So I think they were kind of giving up on me there. So when I got traded, I knew it was a fresh opportunity and I could really play my style of game here. And I was super excited when I got the call that I was traded here.
We're talking to Michael McCarron, Predator centerman, 6'6", 231, if you have not watched him play. And that's why they call him Big Sexy. So, Michael, I want to ask you this. Did you get that nickname from the guys before or after the broken nose?
Oh, no. I had that. I mean, it's either Big Show or Big Sexy. I think Benning came up with Big Sexy, I think, a little while ago, and it kind of stuck. Guys call me that or Big Show. So,
maybe depending on the audience, you know, maybe if you're going rated PG, you would go with Big Show. Maybe a little more PG-13 would be the Big Sexy.
Yeah, exactly. Depending, some guys still call me Big Show. Depending, you know, there's a few guys that are calling me Big Sexy now. And now that Luffer and Tomer brought it out the other night, everybody's calling me Big Sexy today at practice. So, no, it's fun. We have a great group of guys in there, and you know, they're all comedians. They would think.
Hey, if it sticks, you got to go with it, right? If the guys go with it, you got to. You can't. There's nothing you can do about it, right?
Just embrace it. I'm embracing it.
I want to ask you. You said it here a couple of times. You know, it's been a journey for you, and I'm curious, you know, when things don't happen overnight for a player like yourself. That I know, you know, your dream, just like everybody's, to stick in the NHL, and it looks like it's finally happening for you here. Were there times along the journey you had to really look yourself in the mirror and wonder, is this going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was a time in Montreal where I was up for most of the year, made playoffs, and then we lost out, and then the next year I went into camp and I got sent down, and I don't think I got called back up after that. I stayed in the minors for, I think, 2 years before I was able to get traded here. And those time, that time in the minors, it was, you know, it was an attitude check. It was a, you know, figure out my game. How am I going to play and be successful in the NHL? And, you know, credit to my coaches that I've had over the years. I mean, you know, I had Joel Bouchard, who was a really hard coach, pretty similar to Ashley Hynesy, the way he coaches. And then when I got traded here to Milwaukee, Carl Taylor and the guys down there did a huge success for my game as well. And, you know, just really letting me be myself. And, you know, definitely the journey was long for me. And it still is a journey. Every day I'm still fighting to stay here and be a part of this team. And I really want to be a part of this team. It's great group of guys. And super happy to be here, like I said.
You know how big this week is for sure. And, of course, every game from here on out, as you mentioned, there's more game nights than off nights from here. But tomorrow is a big one against Dallas. It's always so much fun to watch you guys go after one another. The games are always so competitive. Tell me what you guys emphasize today at practice as you prepare for this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a playoff game tomorrow. You know, they're 1 point ahead of us in the wild card. It's a 4-point game, so massive game for us tomorrow. We're focusing on things we can control, and that's, you know, the way we play, the way we back pressure, the way we forecheck, getting pucks back, winning puck battles. And I think it was a huge step for us to do that in San Jose, but now we're taking on another beast tomorrow night, Dallas. So we're gonna have to continue to do those little things that we let slip in Seattle. So just watching video, things we do good and bad, and things we're gonna have to. You know, I can't tell you everything, you know, around there. So
that's right. Keep a few secrets here.
So we're ready to go.
This is a far-reaching show. You know, we're available worldwide. So there's probably some Dallas scouts, you know, listening to hear if they get any clues from you. Now we do have We do have to get this for you.
Need a good forecheck.
You got a fellow Michigander here. You've got Derek Mason, borderline Hall of Famer, hoping one day to get in the NFL. He's a Michigan State guy through and through. So you grew up in Michigan. Michael, we got to know, is he, are you Michigan or Michigan State guy growing up?
Oh, I'm go green all day.
Oh, okay. You just made a new friend.
He said he hates the Wolverines. Yes.
Absolutely despise the Wolverines.
My man.
Yeah.
Well, that is a good piece of info now. So now, I think, D-Mace, you might be wearing a McCarron jersey tomorrow.
I'm watching him closely now. Really close.
We'll get you one.
Absolutely. And I'll wear it, too. No problem.
Okay. I like it.
Michael, it's a big, big week, as you already know. Hopefully you guys can build off that huge win Saturday night in San Jose. A lot of fun. Continued success. Thanks for doing this. And we look forward to seeing you this week at Bridgestone Arena.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really appreciate you guys having me on, and have a big week here.
No doubt about it. That is Michael McCarron. Really appreciate him joining us. 2 goals, 2 assists Saturday night in their 8-0 victory. We'll continue the discussion on the other side here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget Smashville Live this Wednesday night during the 6 o'clock hour. You can watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Smashville Live every Wednesday during the 6 o'clock hour. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Derek, we got to work on Willie's, you know, this borderline Hall of Fame stuff. Like, that's not how you address that situation. You leave the borderline part out. You say, should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Yes. I'll rephrase.
Not
yes.
Borderline.
Should be.
Come on.
What kind of
– should be.
Borderline Hall of Famer. I mean, that's –
I mean, if we're going to carry the torch, we got to carry it right.
I mean, you got to drop the borderline. That seems like you're hesitant. You're walking in scared. You got to break down the door.
Yeah, when I walk in, I just walk in. Boom.
Yeah. With authority.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got to do it with authority. Chest out. There's no borderline. You can say, we believe you should already be in the Hall of Fame.
We believe. Not borderline.
Or hopefully soon.
Yes.
Hall of Famer.
Come on, right? You got to speak it into existence. Okay. Man. Okay.
Borderline is like, I'm not sure. You know, I think he belongs. I'm not sure, though. I mean, I'm kind of
like,
could be.
It's time to manifest it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll rephrase. We'll use better terminology going forward here.
I mean, we've already put him in the 3D.
I'm there.
I mean, we already know.
Still
he's
waiting
Hall of
on
Famer.
That jacket, though.
You know, it's coming. I know it's coming. You know, with all the backlogs and so many things. You know.
You know, supply chain.
Supply chain, materials taking forever. I know it's getting over here. I know it.
Everything takes longer to get delivered.
Exactly.
These days, you know?
So I'm being patient, man. I'm a patient guy.
Unlike the delivery we had on, when did that come? It was yesterday. It was delivered yesterday, which was weird. They put it in the middle of the driveway.
Oh, wow.
About ran over it.
Oh, no. Was it a little bitty? Was it a small box?
It was a baseball helmet.
And they just threw it in the middle of the driveway?
In the middle of the driveway.
Wow.
That's the first time I've seen that delivery. The middle of the driveway. So I'm backing out. You know, I'm coming out of the garage, and luckily I've got the reverse. I got I've got that and the screen, and I'm like, what's in the driveway?
Okay. What I'm trying to figure out is this. He put it or she put it in the middle of the driveway.
I'm sure
it took maybe 10 more steps to get it to the front door.
I've never seen anything not put on the – I mean – I guess there's a walkway up to the front porch. Like maybe in the past there's been something on the walkway right before the front porch. But typically, you know, they put it on the front porch. I mean, but no, middle of the driveway.
Man, you need to get it. Middle of the driveway. You need to look at your ring, man.
I mean, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, look at
your ring. I get it Sunday and everything, but wow. Okay, you couldn't go a little bit further. Come on.
Yeah, man.
Come on now. That person is not going into the Delivery Hall of Fame.
Definitely.
They're not even
not.
Borderline. They're
no,
just
uh-uh.
They're not getting in the hall.
Mm-mm.
Like that's not what you do. Yeah. That's not Hall
they're
of Fame.
They're still
worthy.
Trying to make the team.
Oh yeah. And that's probably you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
I mean honestly, if coaches see that you're getting cut, that's just not acceptable.
If you have too many of those, somebody going to call, you get cut, man.
That's a 3 missed field goal game right there. Mm-hmm. Usually that happens the next day.
Where's the energy and the effort, you know? Energy, effort is what you can control.
And it's just not saying. Like it's, you know, cold or anything, you know?
No, it was 80 degrees
exactly,
yesterday.
It was 80 degrees. You should have been, like, joyfully walking
skipping
up to the front door.
To the front porch,
exactly.
Right?
Singing.
Not just throwing it to the middle of the driveway and then taking off.
They probably kicked it to the middle of the driveway.
I'm going to date myself. What was the Chevy Chase? What was it, Funny Farm? The mailman that he hated?
Oh, man, that's a bad movie. That's just a bad movie.
He did not like that mailman.
He did not like that mail carrier.
Oh, man.
Did not like him. Well, that's kind of – I felt like Chevy Chase, to be honest. I was like, really? Come on, man. Be better.
I don't blame you, man.
I'm still kind of cringing from Michael McCarron telling us about his nose.
I'm listening to that, and I'm like, that had to hurt.
I think he was kind of going, maybe I shouldn't have come back. I was seeing double. He was probably, you know, tearing up a lot.
Yeah. Have you ever broken your nose, Derek?
No, I have not.
I did.
Thank goodness.
Oh, pickleball?
No, basketball.
Yeah, two black eyes?
A little bit, yeah. Uh-huh. I had definitely had the water. I had, and it was the 4th of July.
Ooh.
Was it the 4th of July? I think it was the 4th of July. We were in summer school, and we played pickup. There was nobody around. I got bowled. Kevin Anglin caught me right in the right spot.
You still remember the guy's name, huh?
Oh, yeah. That's my guy, man. It's my roommate for 4 years. So, I mean, I was gushing blood everywhere. And the women's team was having a pickup on the next side court. So, it was everybody stopped. Everybody's, are you okay? And I was like, I'm
Willie's
fine.
Screaming.
I had my – I was like, I'm all right. I let my finger – I had the pressure on it, and then I let it go, and it just was a river of blood coming out.
I was like,
we got a problem here. But there's really nothing you can do as long – like, the only thing you can do is what he said is you set it. And I didn't even go to the emergency room to do it. I was just like, well
– Did it just –
It just healed itself.
You kept playing?
I don't know if I kept playing. I think I might have said, I'm done for the day, guys.
Do we think Willie was doing a Nancy Kerrigan? Why?
Why?
Kevin, why? Why, Kevin? Why me, Kevin?
Oh, he threw the elbow. Don't worry about it.
It's not good. But you got to admire these hockey guys. He was back in there. He came back in there.
Uh,
And then the next game, two goals, two assists.
They're wired differently.
Yeah, different breed, man.
Yeah, they're wired differently.
Different breed. Whenever you can get the teeth knocked out and still play, different breed.
Go pick them up and then skate off the ice.
Different breed, man.
Yeah.
Not me.
No.
I'd be ready to fight the dude, knock my teeth out. Then I ain't calling to get my teeth put back in. I'll see y'all tomorrow. I catch the plane to the next trip.
Well, why get them fixed, though? I mean, there's no. I mean, you're a hockey player. Why get them fixed?
I know, but man, maybe I'm a little bit too vain then. So I would want my teeth in.
Yeah.
But I would wear a double mouthpiece.
I don't know.
That's what I feel like I would do. Like every piece of protection you could possibly get.
I would wear a triple mouthpiece.
Why don't they wear like a football helmet, right? Like, why don't they have a mask?
That's always been a thing in hockey is where they basically said you need to have the responsibility to take care of your own stick, which sounds great because that's what they did for a long time. They never used to even wear helmets. The goalie didn't used to wear a helmet.
Oh, snaps.
up until the early 70s, the goalie didn't even wear a helmet.
You crazy.
Because it was a very different game.
The puck still was coming at you.
I know. See, now it's gone from, well, now everybody's wearing a helmet, and then it was, now everybody's wearing a visor.
When the Predators first came in, a lot of the guys didn't wear,
as a principal, a visor, because they're like, well, it forces people to have some caution with your stick. The idea is if you have the full cage, then people will just be swinging their sticks all over the place, and the game will get out of control.
I'm still wearing a full cage. If I was playing hockey, I would wear it.
Well, that's the thing. Unless you have like a broken jaw or maybe a broken nose, an NHL player will not wear the cage as a rule. It's just an unwritten rule. You just don't do it.
The visors come around.
Like, for a long time, there was like, hey, I'm never wearing a visor. There's still a couple guys that don't. I think Jamie Benn, who you'll see tomorrow night, is one of the few guys left that just refuses to wear the visor. And I've always thought, that's not smart, man.
No. Give me two cages.
Double cage it up.
Double cage it up. Double mouthpiece it up.
The face is the moneymaker. That can't happen.
I'm not trying to. Well, maybe, I don't know. You know, because when you're in it, it's different. Yeah. You know, like people say, well,
most guys don't even wear the mouthpiece.
Like in football, I didn't wear hip pads or, you know, tail pad. Yeah. Or
some guys don't even wear the thigh pads, right?
I didn't wear any thigh pads or knee pads. My shoulder pads are very small, you know. So I guess it just depends on the sport. People probably looked at me like I was crazy. Like, you don't wear that?
Yeah.
No, for what?
Did you think it slowed you down to have those extra pads on?
Oh, yeah, it did.
So you felt faster when you didn't have the extra pads.
Because I always think about high school and college where you had these big old pads on and I keep pulling them up.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to go through that. I ain't a running back.
And it is kind of, you think about it, the little foam pad you put in your knee, over your knee. Mm-hmm. What is that really? I mean, it really doesn't. It doesn't even protect your knee because it's going to, like you said, it's going to slide up. So if you get hit hard, that foam thing isn't going to do anything, is it?
Well, they started sewing the foam, like smaller, thin foam pad. They start sewing it into your pants so it wouldn't fall. Just sew it in there tightly. But, I mean, put a sock in there, it'd be fine.
Yeah. I mean, but, like, if you get nailed by a linebacker coming strong at you, it's not going to help that much, right?
Nah.
It's still going to hurt. It's not going to protect you from anything.
Nah, not really.
I never got the thigh pad. I can see the thigh pad. The Charlie horse in the thigh is a bad. Yeah, I had that too. Man,
one thigh contusion. It wasn't from a helmet. It was from an elbow. Like they come in and they. Yeah, but
or knee. Like I got kneed in the thigh. That happens a lot to basketball guys too. That's that'll knock you out for a while.
Oh yeah.
So the thigh pad I can see is important.
Tomorrow, David Poile at 11:15. So looking forward to that conversation. But we'll come back and talk about this week. That is huge, huge week. Dallas, Anaheim, St. Louis at home, Minnesota on the road. That is what they're facing this week. Four gigantic tilts that we'll discuss on the other side here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC. By the way, go to thegamenashville.com/deals. Check out Nashville's best deals right now. Half off Woodhouse Spa, half off Dining at the Mainstay, half off Hard Rock Cafe, half off Brooklyn Bowl, plus $50 free with the purchase of $100 in downtown dollars. So check out Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals, especially if you're going to go to any of these games this week. Tuesday, Thursday at home, Dallas and Anaheim. Saturday morning, 11:30 puck drop against St. Louis. So get maybe those downtown dollars. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason with you. It is a gigantic week for the team because Dallas isn't going away. They beat Minnesota last night. Western Conference, it's a real race because Eastern Conference, not so much. We've talked about it. I'm not even sure there's going to be any drama in the Eastern Conference. But in the Western Conference, definitely. And so you've got four teams that are right in the thick of things. I mean, Anaheim has 63 points. Nashville has 66. Dallas has 67. St. Louis has 71. And Minnesota has 67. That's the teams they're playing this week.
They all have played now close to the same amount of games. So all of the scheduling stuff that got messed up with COVID and rescheduling, for the most part, it's back on track. Minnesota's played one less game than the Predators and Dallas. Dallas has now played the same amount of games. For a long time, Dallas had 5-6 games in hand. They took full advantage of that. Minnesota had that kind of space as well with games in hand, and they've lost 8 out of 10. So they've come back. Dallas is actually tied with Minnesota for third in the Central. So there's still a race for the top three spots, not really for the top spot, but for two and three, definitely three in the Central, and then obviously the wild cards as well. So it's going to be fun. Just, you know, buckle your seatbelt and enjoy the ride. You're not going to win every game. So that's, I think, the most important thing for the Predators is to try to stay steady as she goes, not too high, too low. Like, you know, 8-0, you're excited, you blew them out, great win, but you can't get too high. Just like you couldn't get too low after you blew it and played a stinker against Seattle. To their credit, they bounced back, played well. But now the challenge is not to come home thinking you're, you know, superstars or anything, because it's going to be a very different kind of game tomorrow. Dallas is not giving up 8 anytime soon. San Jose, to be honest, they had goalie issues, and the Predators took full advantage. They had a guy. It'd be like a team that has to start their third-string quarterback in football. You try to take advantage of that, and the Predators did.
Well, I mean, they needed a game like that. You know, it was. I'm not gonna say it was a rest game, but they didn't. But prior to that game, the games before were grueling games.
Yeah, and they just played better in this game. Their overall game, regardless of the goalie, looked much more like their top-level game.
Yeah, because from here on out, with the exception of, you know, between the Buffalo and Minnesota game and then toward the end of the season where those four games, they have like 3 days off in between those two separate games. Anything other than that, it's like a day off. And, you know, playing those grueling games like they did prior to this 8-0 game, it's going to take a toll. It's going to take a toll. So they, you know, the more you can win as you start to hit this stretch, man, the better, because the further and further you get into the second half of the season, it's going to get harder and harder, not just physically but mentally.
Oh, second half. They're well into second half. I mean, this is game 56 on Tuesday night of 82. So they're
it's like
well
the last
into that
quarter.
Yeah, they're sort of last third and about to get to last quarter.
Yep.
So it's I know it's tough. So that win could, you know, with playing those tough, grueling games and then getting the 8-0 win, it could be, you know, an energizing game for them headed down the last, you know, quarter of the season. So, but, man, I just look at the schedule. I'm like, gosh.
And I think, too, it's something to watch for all these teams, but definitely Nashville with some of these young players. It's been 3 seasons since the league has played the full 82 games because when the pandemic started, there was a long break. They never did finish the season. They went right into the postseason after a long break. And then last year they only played 56. So this is the first 82-game marathon since 2019. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're an older player, you know, who's going to have those extra legs, that extra juice all the way to the finish line? Can young players that we just talked about, like Tomasino, Tomasino's playing really well right now. Mm-hmm. Is he going to have that rookie wall, or can he get through it and really rise to the occasion here down the stretch? What kind of depth are these teams going to have when guys start getting banged up? All of these things are going to play into it. David Riddick becomes a very, very important player for the Predators. He hasn't played a whole lot, hasn't had to, but now there's so many games, he's gonna be needed for some victories against key teams, like he got in Florida his last time out. I'm sure he can't wait to get in. He's going to get into a game this week, we know, but the question is, Darren, how many games will he play? There's not like a ton of back-to-backs in there, mm-hmm. but there's just so many games that you got to give Saros a break at the right times. And then when you do, you got to have confidence that Riddick will go in there and play well.
Yeah, we were renting videos from Blockbuster whenever the last time Alex Stalock was started with an NHL game. So it's a game you had to have. I mean, you just did. I'm pretty sure Willie was throwing movies into the VCR back mm-hmm. last time. Stalock,
yeah.
Like you had to. Guy hasn't started a game in 2 years. And they took care of business. Now, 2 weeks out, trading deadline. What does all this mean, right? Because now this yeah. is when things are going to start really heating up. You know, Dallas, we've been hearing Klingberg and Pavelski. What are they going to do now?
I there's no way they can trade Pavelski in my
Klingberg,
mind. Klingberg is one everybody kind of says they're going to trade him, but is it better off just to hold your cards and play it out, even though it doesn't look like there's any way that they can re-sign Klingberg.
Well, not with their cap
they basically
issues.
Told him that. So are you better off trying to get something for him and lose him the rest of the season? Or do you want to keep him for this run? It's a veteran team, right? You've got some young players, like we talked about, with Robertson and Hintz and some of these other guys. But you'd like to think you're in a position you're trying to win. So you're going to trade one of your top four defensemen? That's a tough pickle.
I know. I think a little reverse psychology is in play for tomorrow night. I think every time Ryan Suter is announced or touches the puck, there's just silence. Like, let's trick him. Let's reverse psychology.
You're saying he wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't know what to do.
Like, he's so used to getting booed, and he's using that as, you know, his fuel. I say reverse psychology, just nothing.
Him?
Do nothing. No, or cheer him. There you go. Oh. There's even the reverse.
Now that
of
would
reverse,
be the super
right?
reverse. Yeah,
the super reverse. Like, start cheering him, and then he really won't know what to do. Mm. I'm just saying, just
do
a
something.
Suggestion.
Get the edge.
You know, the booing. I don't think has really worked.
Nah, I think guys like the booing. You know.
Some guys, it's certain. Well, they feed Ryan off Suter's of it. Ryan Suter's admitted he does. It does. It feeds. He feeds off of it, and his team feeds off of it. He has admitted that in the past.
And this is a relatively new thing for his new team. This is his first year with the Stars.
Yeah. But in Minnesota,
they got used to it. His team knew exactly what was coming. So I do wonder about that. You know, you also, you know, they're aware of it. But once you get into the heat of battle. If your mind's on that, you should be blocking that out, right?
Yeah, you don't hear anything once you're on. I mean, at least I'm speaking from my experience.
You think Kyrie Irving heard Kyrie sucks?
No.
Yesterday in Boston?
No. When you're out there on the court.
Really?
Did you see his reaction?
He heard it.
I think if you're out on the court playing. Now, if you're at the free throw line, that's a different story. No, or if you're on the sideline. That's the story.
He was in the free throw lane as somebody else was shooting free throws. And
oh, yeah, you're here, Dan.
They were saying Kyrie sucks. Kyrie sucks.
Yeah, you're here, Dan. But if you are in motion in the progress of a play, be it the basketball court, football field, or the hockey rink, you don't hear it. You're zoned out.
I'm thinking maybe Maybe cheer. I like that, Derek. I think, boy, that really – he would not want – in fact, I'd love
Let's
to –
Let's just put it this
he
way.
Might just
they
stop.
Would notice. They would notice.
He might, he might just stop. Like, whoa.
He Right.
He would throw him for a loop for temporarily, for sure.
Would you love to hear what he says in postgame if that happened? Like, how would he – because you know he's going to get asked. What would he – what would his response be?
No, please. No.
No, it, boo me. Please, boo me.
You may be able to catch him. You guys should get the camera on him. You may catch him laughing, right? Like, what's going on? What's happening?
Man. Got to do something to get that edge, man.
No doubt. All right, we'll come back, put a bow on Monday's edition of Darren Donning, Chase, and D-Base. But first, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. They're my friends because they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. And boy, do I love them for that. They've improved my quality of life, whether it's Michelle or Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, or their experienced team over there. They can do so many things under one roof. It's a state-of-the-art facility out there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds that you would love to get rid of. Well, weight loss management is important to them. They've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. How about rejuvenation? Your appearance is important. They know that, and they know it also gets more challenging as you get older. They can discuss PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally, hormone therapy. You ever had your levels checked? Do you realize if you've been feeling off lately, maybe you haven't had the same drive, same energy, experienced some mood swings, maybe your levels have dipped? That can affect you. They can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Tomorrow, you'll get a chance. Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. That'll be at 8:45 tomorrow morning. 8:45. We're going to call in and pick a player to score a goal. And if it happens, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Predators home game. So keep that in mind tomorrow morning at 8:45. You'll need to be the first one in because they only pick one. You only pick one. So keep that in mind. Whoever I don't believe anybody took McCarron or Luff. I don't think so. But we'll see. Tomorrow night, Predators hosting the Stars. Tag situation has got to be done by tomorrow. Will the Titans tag Harold Landry? Yes or no? Right now, as we sit here, about 24 hours away from the deadline. Is it going to happen? I don't believe so.
I'm 49, 51, 51 meaning they're not. I just can't see them. I don't think they want to commit that, because if you don't sign them, you're committed to $18 million, basically, for the year.
Unless you trade him. Or
you But you have to work out a deal to trade him.
You can't just trade his rights? You can't trade that?
I don't think nobody's going to take a one-year guy.
Well, it would have to be a team that was thinking, I would go after him in the, if he hit the free agent market.
No,
so they're ready to deal? They
any,
have
any
money?
Team that signs him, are they're going to want a it's almost like a, okay, we'll work out a deal and then sign you.
Sign and trade.
Yeah, sign and trade. Okay. I don't think a team is going to say, well, yeah, we'd take the one-year tag.
Well, and you could do that, right? You could tell the agent, hey, you shop around.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know if they're going to give him that money. Maybe they do give his agent permission.
I still think you've got to tag him, right? He's an asset that you don't want to let him just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what you're looking at. If you can't come to a deal, he's going to hit the free agent market. And somebody, like Teron was saying, edge rushers, they get overpaid.
You'd rather somebody else overpay for him than you. That's what Pittsburgh did.
But can you, if you needed to, tag him, do the sign and trade thing,
mm-hmm.
and get something, and then let the team overpay?
You can. I mean, I haven't seen, and I could be wrong on this, I haven't seen a guy get tagged and then traded.
It doesn't happen very often.
Without a long-term deal in place.
Rare.
Yeah.
pretty rare.
Because nobody wants to trade for basically a lame duck. It's right, just one guy. And
it's got to be a team with money that has a vision of, yeah, we want this guy.
Mm-hmm. And we can work out a deal with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get that. I agree. That team would probably want that on the front end before they pull the trigger on something like that. But that being said, I've been consistent. I think they will tag him.
I'm with you, Darren. I mean,
you're starting to see it. You leaning no, Darren?
I'm leaning no.
Just let him walk.
Don't tag him. I think they're going to let
him
test the market.
If you don't tag him, he's gone. He's gone.
I think they're going to let him test the market.
John Robinson has not been afraid to let guys walk. He's been letting draft picks walk since he's been the GM. This is nothing new.
I think they believe they have a young guy in house. That can give them some production, and then they can draft a guy. And then you never know. I mean, once teams start cutting individuals, you know, you bring a veteran guy in and
piece it together.
Yeah. Because I think that defense is going to be good again next year. That front seven is going to be good, I think, because as long as Jeffrey Simmons is there, those linebackers are young. I think they're going to be okay. They would like to keep Landry, but that price tag might be a little bit too high for them.
Corey Davis, walk. Adoree Jackson, walk. Jack Conklin, walk. Rashawn Evans, he's going to walk. I mean, the list goes on and on, right, of guys that he's just let walk. And
Conklin was coming off. Wasn't Conklin coming off for one of his better seasons the year they allowed him, they let him go?
I feel like
want to sign him back.
Didn't he have the knee?
I thought he had the injury.
Didn't he come back and play a season?
Yeah, I thought he had the knee the year
and
before,
then
and then he came back. Yep. And he played well that year.
I thought he played well. Yeah.
Yeah. But they let him go.
So I'm saying that John Robinson has not been afraid to let Harold Landry is, a second-round draft pick? So
I feel like you use the tag to your advantage. Mm-hmm. You have it there. I don't remember all the circumstances of those other guys, if they could have tried something like that. I'm just thinking if you can't come to a deal initially, tag them and then trade them.
There hasn't been many guys under Robinson's regime that they've signed back, like after their rookie deal was done.
Mm-mm. Well, there's going to be two coming up.
Well,
A.J.
Brown
and
Jeff.
Big Jeff.
Yeah, so but
they
you're
can't, right.
They can't let those guys hit the market at all. I mean, no way, no how.
I agree with that. Those are the guys. Those are the priorities.
Yeah.
Patriots have released Kyle Van Noy. Browns sounds like they're going to tag David Njoku. Reports are that the Panthers have taken calls about trading Christian McCaffrey.
So Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley being shopped around, that is...
You're talking about when they came out, both of them had great rookie years.
And those are like top picks in fantasy drafts and stuff. But it just shows you in this day and age, it's hard for running backs. That's why I say the biggest concern is Derrick Henry. How long can he stay in that window? Saquon Barkley hasn't even had the window.
But he's been injured too. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Multiple teams have expressed interest in Falcons wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Apparently, the Patriots and Browns are two of those teams. So that'll do it for our show today. Have a great rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.